Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
This whole lawsuit isn't about contraception. It's about religious freedom.
They trying to mash the same-sex marriage into the blood-stained tradition of the black community is horrible.
I give to God so that he'll give something to me. That's essentially idolatry. The exact opposite is the way it happens. Worship starts with God giving.
When we ask ourselves, do we need the Lord's Supper every week? You know, we need to have compassion on our brothers and say, you know, even if I don't want it every week, well, maybe my brother does.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
So in response to the HHS mandate, the Health and Human Services mandate that says that religious institutions need to, against conscience and against their official teaching, fund things like contraception through their employer health plans, there's a powwow in Washington, D.C. of not only religious leaders but other thinkers who get together and they want to talk about religious freedom. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So why does the headline from Religion News Service, and that's been propagated in major papers throughout the country, why does it have quotation marks around the term religious freedom? Leaders meet to discuss religious freedom. What does that mean? What do those quotation marks indicate? Welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 1st of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us. We're going to talk about media coverage of that religious liberty in quotes and a story about a girl who would not be allowed to attend Mass during a Florida Girls State gathering and coverage of that as well. A little bit later, we're going to react to Planned Parenthood and its permission and encouragement in some cases of gender selective abortion. Wendy Wright of CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, will be our guest. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four soundbites we play for you. You listen, and then you pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org, or vote at our Facebook fan page. We need you to vote, facebook.com/issuesetc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's nice to be here.
You recently attended an event in Washington, D.C., where the subject was the defense of religious liberty, and then reading a story originating with the Religion News Service, where both the headline and the body of the story contain the term religious liberty in quotes. What bothered you about that?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a decent story, and I'm first off, I want to just say it's great that they covered the event. It's sad that you have to be appreciative of things like this, but in this media climate, even though there are all these lawsuits and protests and people talking about it in various church bodies, it's actually been very difficult to see any coverage or even any decent coverage. When these lawsuits came out, there were a lot of media outlets that just completely ignored them, even though it was, by some accounts, the largest religious liberty lawsuit ever filed in history. So I first off just want to say it's great that they covered it. But they did this thing that we've seen in other media outlets, including the Washington Post, where they put the terms religious freedom or religious liberty in scare quotes. And it's sometimes hard to know what's a scare quote and what's just a quote. And so a quote is when you're just saying, oh, so-and-so said this, and they use this particular term, and so you put it in quotes to indicate that that was their particular term. A scare quote is when you're trying to indicate to the reader that there's some dispute about the term. And it's really interesting to use it in this case, because even though there are various different opinions about religious liberty in this issue, about how big of an offense against religious liberty it is, if it's major or minor or whatnot, it's not really a disputed term. I mean, these are concepts that are in the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. It's a very American phrase. It's something that you hear rather routinely. So it's kind of weird to see it in scare quotes, particularly considering that you don't see all sorts of other phrases either in this debate or outside of this debate in scare quotes. Like, you don't, even though, for instance, this HHS mandate doesn't just cover contraception, that's how the proponents of the mandate refer to it. They refer to it as a contraceptive mandate, but it also includes abortion drugs and sterilization services. But you don't see contraception put in scare quotes. Or you have the major nationwide debate about whether marriage can be redefined to include same-sex couples or other groupings, and you not only don't see same-sex marriage put in quotes, you see journalists really strongly opposing the idea that, that's even a disputed term. And I've seen some media outlets such as CNN move on to equal marriage is what they're calling it now. And so it just seems like a little bit of a double standard in how we're seeing these scare quotes applied and when they're applied. And it's a disservice to the reader just because it's not really an accurate rendering of the situation. For instance, at this religious liberty conference, there were people who had all sorts of different views on the topic, that the HHS mandate was the worst thing that had ever happened in America, to people who said, oh, it's not good, but it's not the end of the world. But they were all discussing religious liberty, and it just did not accurately reflect the nature of the debate at this conference.
I mean, I'm no journalist. That's just my reader's response to seeing scare quotes like that in a headline or in the body of this. If the conference is slated as a conference on religious liberty, then putting it in quotes seems to say something more than just, well, the term religious liberty here, or whether this is religious liberty issue is debated. It seems to say, well, maybe this conference wasn't really about religious liberty.
Well, and in fact, the news service that put it out responded to my critique, and they said they defended themselves as saying that probably, well, I can't remember the words, like probably or possibly what's really going on is all these people who claim that they're really worried about religious liberty are really just opponents of Barack Obama. So they'd already kind of decided, like, oh, all these lawsuits and protests and speeches from the pulpit and gatherings and whatnot, it's really just a very complicated effort to oust, as opposed to perhaps their desire to defeat President Obama in November. So it's kind of hard to, I mean, I'm glad that they're honest that that's what they think, and it's good to know what you're dealing with when you have media outlets covering you, to know that they just basically don't really buy into your argument at all. But it goes so far beyond the vocation of the reporter to decide whether your lawsuit is legitimate or not. I mean, let the Supreme Court decide, and they will, whether this is, you know, whether the claims being made in these lawsuits are valid or not. But it's really premature that a reporter who probably doesn't have much expertise in these matters would be able to determine that really you claim you're worried about the Constitution, but in actuality you probably just don't like Obama. And it's also silly because there are people involved in this effort that are not traditionally political, such as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which does not get too involved politically, particularly at the partisan level. And you have Catholics, which are downright traditionally Democratic. And you have like different religious groups for which this doesn't necessarily that wouldn't fit in any case.
Well, Molly, if RNS was there and they were at the conference and it was slated as a conference discussing a threat to religious liberty, and they believe, as they admit, as Mark Silk does, at least today at the RNS blog, admits that he thinks something else was going on there. Well, the reporter was there. Can't they tell that side of the story? Can't they say, well, what we saw was people running around with anti-Obama pins on their lapels or something like that? There are facts that could back up that assumption or assertion.
Right. And they, from the portion of the conference that I attended, they would not have been able to tell that part of the story. And I do want to state, the reporter actually did a fine job covering the event. She managed to, with just a few words, kind of give an overview. I might not have made all the same decisions she did in terms of who to quote, but she did show that there was a breadth of opinion there, and she did not make it out to be a partisan event or something like that. So it was just a disservice. My actual feeling on this is that even if you have the best of intentions, and I see that an editor at RNS says that they put religious liberty in quotes simply to signal that this is not a neutral term, which is kind of odd again, then that's fine. But it signals so much to the reader that is negative that you should just avoid it. It's just not much payoff for whatever you're trying to accomplish, and a huge huge. It comes with a ton of baggage. So when most readers read that, what they get the feeling of when they read it is, this is a media outlet that is hostile to my religious views, or this is a media outlet that is hostile to my concerns that I've been expressing about religious liberty. And there's not much payoff for putting it in quotes. So even if you say you're just trying to indicate that this is not a neutral term, I mean, you're going to have to scare quote every single word in the story to show that it's not. To show all the terms that are disputed in these battles. And if you're not going to do that, if you're not going to be consistent, then don't just pick the one side that you happen to disagree with and everyone in your newsroom happens to disagree with. You know, be consistent or just don't do it.
Speaking of quotes, this time not scare quotes, but actual quotes, you found it used to great effect in a story covering a young woman who was forced to choose between going to mass or participating in an event that would have conflicted with it. Tell us the story with about 2 minutes here.
Okay. Yeah, there was a girl who got picked to go to Girls State in Florida, and she was looking through the schedule, discovered that she needed to make arrangements to go to Mass. She's Catholic, and as she tried to make arrangements, she was told that she could not, that there were insurance reasons she couldn't walk across the street and go Mass at the cathedral that's like right across the street from where Girls State was going to be held in Florida. Someone else tried to accommodate her by actually bringing in a priest, and Girls State said, you can't do that either. It was a really interesting story because it actually is something that happens for religious adherents all the time. I myself am headed to a conference in Chicago where I'm having to negotiate whether I can go to church on Sunday. And here I'm an adult and I have to do these things. So this is something that happens a lot. And what I was really happy about was just the story got published. It was a local paper, and they did a really good job giving the perspectives of both sides and having nice long quotes so everybody could fully explain either why they wanted to go to Mass or why the girl shouldn't be allowed to have her own special accommodation or whatnot, and what they thought of all the different approaches being taken. It was a nice long story with nice long quotes, and considering that it was just a local Florida paper that did it, I thought it was worth pointing out and highlighting an example of great coverage of religion news that, is provocative and makes you think about society and whatnot. And it can be done by local papers. It's not always just the big papers that do a good job with these things.
More with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of Get Religion after the break.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m. on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10 with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
The Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace, sung by the St. Olaf Choral Assemblies playing now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world all through the long Pentecost season, which has just begun. The whole half of the church year at LutheranPublicRadio.org. You can listen to the music of the church anytime, day or night, absolutely free, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. We're talking about media coverage on this story of a young woman who is not able to attend Mass during a Florida Girl State gathering. Before the break, Molly, you said it was a good story, it was a long story, it was a thorough story. Isn't that the best kind of reporting that allows the subjects to tell the story in their own words?
No, I agree. And I think that also sometimes when you're at the local level, sometimes you know these people a little bit more and you understand that they're real people that are trying to work out problems on their own. And so you treat them with a little bit more respect, even if you might be inclined, you know, toward one viewpoint over another. And it just lets the story be told and makes the reader get involved and think about their role in the story or how they would respond or react in a similar situation. There are certain things that a large paper will give you, which, you know, sometimes better editing or help with your story structure or even more access to high-profile people who can weigh in on a dispute. But sometimes these local papers really, really show us a great way of how to tell a story.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C. and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.